It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the As 1950 ebbs to its close, our hearts turn once more to Bethlehem, to the coming of a little child, the divine infant that brought love to a weary world. This is the season of love, the season wherein our thoughts are of the love of friends, the love of home, the love of children, the love of all those little half-remembered things which, although they make up the best portion of our days, are too often forgotten in the distractions of troublous times. We need Christmas to bring us back to a due sense of spiritual values. And so at this blessed season, we are thinking of those faithful members of the White House staff who, day in and day out, have so quietly and with such unobtrusive efficiency performed their tasks and by their continuous and often unnoticed labors, lightened our cares and added pleasure to our lives. May Christmas Day be a day of joy to each and every one, as it is not possible for us personally to know all those to whom we owe so deep a debt of gratitude, but to each we send this heartfelt message of affection and appreciation. May the Star of Bethlehem, which came so mysteriously and lingered so briefly, shine in our hearts and light our way to joy and peace, even as it directed the steps of the wise men to the manger in the city of David in the long ago. And may we, too, hear the song which the angel choir sang on the night of the first Christmas, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Mr. and Miss President Harry Truman. Christmas 1950, and welcome to this late evening edition of World News Brief, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day edition. Probably the time you might listen to this perhaps would be on Christmas Day. I realize that if you follow this show, you follow politics, world events, current events pretty closely, most likely. And this is not, like me, the type of Christmas that you were expecting to have. Now, I've actually been having a wonderful Christmas with my family, wonderful Christmas with my friends, but a lot of us probably thought in the political realm, I know that I did, that this Christmas wouldn't be much different than the previous Christmas, and the one before that, and the one before that, where we were pretty certain that the projection of this country was going to continue on course towards more freedom, more individual liberty, more common sense in Washington, as opposed to moving to the utter insanity of socialism and ultimately communism. A lot of us, like me, I really thought that Donald Trump would win the election. And of course, I actually still think that Donald Trump did win the election. However, we are in one of the most pivotal times, no question, in our nation's short but elongating history. Really, what this is the culmination of several years of, I guess, what we could call now a civil war. For many years, that civil war was quiet. For many years, none of us understood. We knew there was voter fraud, and we knew that as conservatives, as people that we call the political right today, the people that still believe in a nation state, that still believe that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land and nothing, no international treaty, no alliance, no nothing that we've written down and said we agree to with some global entity, nothing trumps it. We, the people of the United States of America, are the sovereign and final say. People like us, people who believe like we believe, that we should still like have a country and not just simply open the borders up and allow anyone and everyone in the world to come in and take us over. I guess we should let billions of people in or something like that. Like, still believe in the basic nation state. We thought, I know I did, and I predicted it on my show on November 3rd. You can go back and look at it. We believed that Trump would win, and as a result, the United States of America would continue. We would actually not fundamentally transform the U.S. We would actually make it better, make America greater and greater. And that was kind of the idea. But now what we find ourselves in, and it's Christmas Day now as I record this. It's Christmas Day. It's early, early, early morning Christmas Day. I wasn't actually planning on doing a show tonight, a late Christmas Eve, early, early Christmas morning. But it was one of those times, just like the show that I did on November 3rd, I was not planning on doing that show. There was something in me that said, I got to do it. And there was something that hit me today that said, I've got to do a show no matter how late it is. So here I am. Here I am doing it. But it's Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. And I do hope you have yourself a merry little Christmas. Because it is a time, as Truman reminded the White House staff in this really cool 1950 Christmas card that I found at wallbuilders.com. I'll link to it up at cgm.news. But it is a time to reflect on what is ultimately most important in life. And there, of course, is nothing more important than our relationship with God. Plain and simple. You know, as a Christian, there's nothing more important than the kingdom of God. I love the United States. I love our Constitution. I love our history. I love how we've overcome so much in our history to not only form a more perfect union back with the United States Constitution, but to continue to perfect that union as well. And we are still not perfect, just like every other nation on earth. We still have a long way to go. But there is nothing, absolutely nothing more important than the fact that 2,000 years ago, a child was born to us. A son was given to us, as the scripture says in Isaiah 9. And speaking of politically, the government will rest on his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So there's absolutely nothing more important than that. And we're going to end off with that, actually. But, you know, one thing that today actually is the anniversary of, and it's rather fitting that today is the anniversary of it. It's actually very fitting. Did you know that, 1776, it's 2020, so 246 years ago, this evening, Christmas Day, General George Washington, with his ragtag volunteer army, crossed the Delaware River. And on the morning of December 26th, 1776, made a surprise attack on the Hessian armies, the Hessian mercenaries that were working for the British, defeated them and helped turn the tide of the war. I don't know how to put this more bluntly, but this is our 1776. This is our December 25th, 1776. We are in the middle of nothing less. And we have been for a long time. We've been in a civil war for a long time. But many of us, didn't really realize it until this year. This year made it abundantly clear that we are in a civil war. Why are we in a civil war? Because just like back in the first half of the 1800s and into the 1850s, there was a divide. There was an unbreachable divide in the United States of America. And in that divide, there were some that said that there was a certain class of people called slaves. And those slaves did not have equal rights. They not only did they not have equal rights, but they could be treated as property, bought and sold and treated however they wanted. That they were not, essentially, they were not human. They were like animals. Highly sophisticated, highly trained, highly intelligent animals, and could be treated as such. And there was another group of people in America that could not accept that, could not accept that possibility. There was a divide. And when Lincoln won election in 1860, the first Republican president won election in 1860, immediately the South seceded because it was, for whatever reason, and there are many reasons, but in their deranged minds, this was the issue. Slavery absolutely, positively must be upheld for our economy, for our lifestyles, whatever demonic excuse you wanted to give for it. Slavery and the idea that some humans can be treated essentially as animals bought and sold do not deserve the same rights as other humans. So they seceded. Lincoln says, you can't do that. You can't secede. This is illegal. This is wrong. The Civil War begins. And Lincoln then begins a fight to bring the southern states that had seceded back into the Union, which was, we didn't go to Civil War initially over slavery. It was slavery that broke the Union, but Lincoln, the Civil War initially was not about slavery. Initially, it was about the fact that the states had broken off and they weren't allowed to. It eventually did become about that, and through the Civil War, the slaves were freed. We're now Civil War II, and we are now, to some extent, in American Revolution II. Why do I say that? Because what we have now and what we're dealing with right now I don't see how this is not the biggest election theft in the history of the United States. I'm sorry. Well, certainly in the history of the United States, but what I meant to say was the history of the world. The theft of this election so blatantly, so openly, in the dark of night, that we shut down the counting, and all of these swing states, shut down the counting, send everybody home, kick out the poll workers, and let's bring some ballots in. Let's bring some ballots in, and all these states that Trump, we went to bed with Trump winning. The next morning we wake up, Trump is losing. Just enough votes to turn the tide. Even in Pennsylvania, when on election night Trump was up by 700,000 votes. And then you're going to sit there and you're going to tell me that Joe Biden, the least exciting candidate perhaps in Democrat history, combined with the least popular vice presidential nominee candidate in history, and someone who, when she talks, makes you just scared. Skin crawl, you're going to tell me that the two of them beat Barack Obama, who was a truly popular, truly transformative. The guy had crowds bigger than Trump. I mean, this guy had crowds of 60,000, 70,000. He was a truly revolutionary candidate. You're going to tell me that Joe Biden got 12 million more votes, and the guy can't fill up a gas station parking lot. It's insanity. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris with just blowing the record of the most votes in American history? I'm sorry. For anybody who's paying attention, it's blatantly obvious that this election was stolen. You can get into the paper ballots, the mail-in ballots not having any creases. You can get into all kind of the statistical anomalies, the issue with Dominion and Smartmatic and all this. There's so much you can get into, right? But I'm not a computer scientist. I'm not a statistician. I'm a pretty common sense kind of guy. And if you're kind of a common sense person that's looking at this, you go, something is wrong. You know, and I'll say this. I can handle losing. I handled losing in 2012. I handled losing in 2008. Before that, my guy won in 2000, 2004. I only really started paying attention in 2000, after 2000. I wasn't that interested. But I can handle losing to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And it's going to be Kamala. It would be Kamala in no time. I'm not counting Trump out, by the way. I'm not at all. And there's something in me. I could be totally deluded. And don't take this as anything, but there's something in me that does not see the two of them taking that oath of office. I don't know what it is. That's just where I'm at. I could be completely and totally wrong. Trump knows this election was stolen. I'll get to that in a second. What I was going to say, though, is that I can handle losing if I really lost. I can handle losing if we have a secure and legal system of voting that's honest and fair. I can handle that. You know why? Because then that tells me the United States of America is still the United States of America. We are still a representative Republic. It would stink. It would plow us further into socialism. But I can handle it if we really lost. What I don't accept defeat if we didn't really lose. I don't accept defeat if we were cheated. I do not accept defeat if there was fraud on such a massive scale as to change not only presidential elections, but to change senatorial elections, House of Representatives elections. And another thing, you're going to tell me we went up how many? 10, 11, 12 seats in the House, gained that many seats, but Trump lost. The man that made people excited to actually vote Republican again. All these other House seats were gained, but the guy that caused those House seats to be gained, he himself did not win. I don't believe that. You had 10 people show up to Biden rallies, and you have 40,000 people show up at Trump rallies. You have 30,000 Latino car caravans in Florida, 7,000 Latino car caravans down in Texas. You have movements all across the world, all across the world. People are marching for Trump. This was, I'm gonna let you guys in on something. I did a couple days of, we'll just say, an intense kind of set aside time of seeking God about what was going on and praying for our country. And do you know what happened? It was the morning after I was done with those 2 days. And I had the idea to look up what Donald Trump's name means. And I went to the Etymological Dictionary online, etymonline.com. I encourage you, fact check me. Look it up. We all know what Trump means, right? It means surpasses, beats, wins, you know, Trump card, that kind of thing. Well, Donald, you know what Donald means? Yeah, it means world ruler. I was kind of surprised by that one. Do you know what John means? It means highly esteemed by the Lord. So here we have Donald John Trump, world ruler, who is highly esteemed by the Lord, who surpasses or beats. I report, you decide what to do with that, which is partly why there's something in me that's saying, this isn't over. And let me just say something. It ain't over till it's over. If and when it's over, I will accept that it's over. I will not accept that Joe Biden and within a few days, perhaps Kamala Harris are the legitimate president and vice president. I will not accept that. But I will accept that that is the, I will not accept them, but I will accept that that is the reality of the situation and we'll move on with our lives, which I predict the secession movement will grow stronger and stronger. And here's why. It's one thing if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris get in there and they moderate, right? They come to the center. They really try to, you know, work with the other side. They try to pass reasonable policies, kind of like, you know, maybe like in the 90s when you've got the Gingrich Republicans and you've got Bill Clinton. And, you know, if they try to moderate, then I think things would be fine. But we all know that is not what they are going to do. Everything I've seen from them is only as left as you can possibly get. Kamala Harris is a hard left, literally to the left of Bernie Sanders, senator. She cannot help herself. I mean, she's the kind of person that would investigate the Center for Medical Progress, who had done those undercover videos of Planned Parenthood where they were talking about wanting to buy Lamborghinis and stuff for, you know, for all the money they make off of babies' body parts, leftover babies' body parts after abortions. I mean, it's beyond sick. It's beyond sick. He legally, in public places only, that the same exact kind of stuff you would see on, you know, undercover reporting on the LA news channels, same kind of stuff you would see, but he does it to her friends. And so she, as district attorney or as attorney general of California, investigates him and goes after him. See, that's what leftists do. It's not about equal justice under the law. It is about power, plain and simple. It is all about power. We are in a civil war 2.0. It doesn't feel like it. There aren't bullets flying around. Oh, but we are in one. We are in one because whereas the 1860s America had the North and the South, slavery, non-slavery. What we have now, essentially what American politics has evolved into, is that either you are on the side of the nation state, you are a U.S. constitutionalist who still believes that United States should remain a free and sovereign country, or you are a socialist slash perhaps also communist, that believes that we should be a part of every world treaty, that we should essentially rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement and enact world socialism and redistribute all of our money to these poor countries and basically punish ourselves for emitting any carbon into the air, whereas big polluters like China and India can get away with so much more. I mean, they're really much more of any kind of environmental problem than we are, yet we, of course, would be the most punitive. You know, you believe that we should stand up to China and that we should have a very, very strong manufacturing base, especially of all our necessities here in the United States? Or you believe that we should be more and more beholden to China, that we should capitulate to China, we should not want to offend China in any way, NBA, Hollywood, Joe and Hunter Biden, and all of the horrific stuff that's being uncovered through Hunter Biden's laptop, which, by the way, we're allowed to talk about now after the election. Isn't that something? Before the election, it's not something we were allowed to talk about. Oh, but now we can. I wonder why we now can. I wonder why. Could it be their path to getting rid of Beijing Biden? Could it be? We shall see. Better stop before this turns into a Dr. Seuss rhyme. We are in a civil war, and we are in a, and it's a civil war to such an extent that it's almost like a second revolutionary war, because the divide between those who believe, say, in the U.S. Constitution, such as the free exercise of religion, as Anna just alluded to, freedom of speech, and those who believe that it's perfectly fine to censor those opinions with which you disagree with. It is, the divide could not be greater. Those believe that you should be able to keep and bear arms, to have well-regulated militias, to be able to protect your homes, to be able to be the sheriff of your own home, because remember, when seconds count, the police are just minutes away. No knock on the police. They can't be everywhere. And thank God, we don't want them to be everywhere. We don't want to be a police state. Or perhaps those who believe that it's perfectly fine to constantly be monitoring citizens through our cell phones and backing up all of that data into the NSA. I don't know. I just wonder if we need to clear out all the NSA employees and just blow the place up. Makes you wonder. Cost benefit of having that ultimate spy surveillance of our own nation. We know what's going on. We know exactly what's going on. So that's where we are. And today is the anniversary of Washington crossing the Delaware River to fight the Hessians and turn the tide of the American Revolution. So what can you do? I think that's what a lot of us are asking right now. What can you do? I would encourage you right now, there are a few things you can do besides pray, and I'll get to prayer in a second. Go to cgm.news. At the very top of the page, it's in bold red. And if you've been to cgm.news, I've had, you know, election fraud evidence, links to election fraud evidence that you can read about. But in big red letters, sample letter to send to your representative encouraging them to stop the steal. You can see the letter that I sent to my congressman, Kevin Brady. I also sent the letter to my senators, Senator Ted Cruz and Senator John Cornyn. I also have phone numbers to contact your congressmen and senators right there. You can copy and paste this into emails. Just do a search for your representative or senator's name and contact email. It'll come up. Copy and paste that in there. Just make sure to insert the name of your congressman and senator, and also sign it with your name, you know, remove insert name here before sending it. Flood their inboxes. Flood the phones. I haven't called yet, but I am going to be calling them as soon as it makes most sense. If it does on the 26th, I'll call them on the 26th. But either way, that's something physical tangible that you can do. Look, it makes a difference. Everything I've heard has said that it makes a difference. That every one person that goes, they consider that it's worth maybe 30, 40, 50 people, something like that. Be a voice over email and over the phone. Okay, so that's one thing you can do. And the second thing you can do is to pray. The scripture says, I believe it's Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Continue to pray. This is, you know, there are great times in history. There really are. We just don't ever consider ourselves necessarily to be living in them. But let me tell you something. This, I know it feels weird. It might sound weird. But I feel like we are suspended in history right now. We are suspended in one of the most pivotal times in history. It is like when Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon to take over Rome. And that, in such a powerful way, changed the trajectory of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in this moment. We're in this moment. You know, revolutions are a lot more fun to read about than they are to experience. Civil wars are a lot more fun to read about than they are to experience. And right now, this is not fun. There are times when it feels fun and it's interesting and exciting. But for the most part, I'm not enjoying this. And I think for the most part, the revolutionaries, I think for the most part, those who fought the Civil War did not enjoy that. Most of the time, they didn't enjoy it. Of course, looking back, reading about it, it's fascinating. It's interesting, especially when the good guys win. The right people won the Revolutionary War. The right people won the Civil War. The right people won World War I and World War II. I don't know that the right people are going to win this one. I don't know. I have a hunch they will. But if there's one thing I've learned through this whole process is I can certainly be wrong. And have been wrong. I don't think I was wrong about my election prediction. But I do think I was wrong, perhaps, about the Supreme Court coming into Trump's aid, come really to the nation's aid. But all we've seen is that all of the courts, including the Supreme Court, don't want to touch this thing with a 10,000-foot pole. And I don't understand it for the life of me that the two Bush judges, namely Alito and Thomas, voted to take the case, take the Texas versus Pennsylvania case, and the three Trump Supreme Court justices rejected it, of course, along with the four leftist judges. I was wrong. I mean, I was wrong. Now, it's possible that the Supreme Court, there are other cases going right now. It's possible that the Supreme Courts could end up taking that case. An ACB getting in there 45 days before could be the pivotal difference, which was what my prediction was. So I guess it's still possible that that prediction could come true. I don't know. I don't care anything about my predictions, ultimately, at this point. Yeah, you like to predict things as a political analyst. You like to predict things and be right. But honestly, I care about our country and the future of our country because we don't know that the good guys are going to win this time. Some people think, know for sure that they will. I don't put myself in that camp. But the good guys have to win this time. Because if the good guys don't win this time, just like if the good guys didn't win in the Civil War, just like if the good guys didn't win in the Revolutionary War, we don't have a country. Because here's what's going to happen. We know exactly what's going to happen. We know that they are going to pack the courts. I don't know, they're going to add like 850 Supreme Court justices. We know they're going to add states and thus add senators. They're going to give amnesty to who knows how many millions and millions and millions of illegal immigrants. And that's just what I can think of off the top of my head. Not only that, but they're going to fully and completely solidify their ability to engage in election fraud. They'll probably expand the usage of those Dominion machines. There won't be anybody that is able to investigate those machines. They'll be protected, and they'll be able to flip elections for Democrats till kingdom come. And you know what? If God allows that to happen, then God allows it to happen, and I will live and adjust my life accordingly. But here's one other thing they're going to do that perhaps you don't hear about as much. Oh, but they're going to do it. They're going to do it. You ready for this? I've seen it in the Financial Times. I've seen it in the New York Times. I've seen it video from NBC. And I'm sure it's been said many other places. They are going to go after Donald John Trump with everything that they've got. Whoever the attorney general is, either he or she will do it, or they will appoint a special counsel to do it. They want him behind bars as soon as possible. As soon as possible. They want him behind bars. There's no question about it. Donald Trump, to them, is the full manifestation of everything they hate. And that's what the left is. It's a party of hatred. It's a party of intolerance. It's a party of bigotry. It's a party of segregation. We see the segregation on college campuses with, quote, people of color only dorms. We see the segregation in places like Seattle, where they'll separate people during race training, separate whites from people of color. And of course, they say that we're the party of hatred and bigotry and all these phobias. It's garbage. It's utter garbage. And it's utter baloney and garbage. But that's what they project. Donald J. Trump is the full manifestation of everything they hate about America. And they hate America. Boy, do they hate America. They love to see that flag burned. They love to kneel during our anthem. They love to essentially give the finger to anything and everything we love while praising Karl Marx, while praising Che Guevara, while praising Maduro and Castro and all of these, what the Bible would call, worthless fellows. They hate us. They hate America. This really is a battle between America. Do you love America? Or do you hate America? And the solution is to transform America into a socialist dystopia. Whereas, like what the World Economic Forum talks about with their Great Reset, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Oh, and here's a stock photo of this nice-looking Asian man smiling. Isn't he so happy? Well, that guy's actually a model. That's a stock photo. He's not smiling about the fact that he owns nothing. He's smiling for the camera and he's getting paid to do his work. He's not smiling because he doesn't own anything. Somebody's going to own something. Who's going to own? Oh, you are going to own. So you're going to own something. So are you not happy because you own us and you own everything? The elites, those in charge, Somebody's going to own something. So aren't you just simply creating more unhappiness for yourself by you owning everything and nobody else owning anything? But you see, that's not how elitist thinking works. Elitist thinking works, you own nothing and you're happy. But if you own something, you would be unhappy. I own something, I'm happy. I own all of you, and all of you are my serfs, my slaves. You think the Great Reset's a conspiracy theory? I encourage you to go to the World Economic Forum and find out for yourself online if the Great Reset is a conspiracy theory. Donald J. Trump has to win, which is why I believe he will. He has to win. If he doesn't win, if this great election theft is allowed to happen, there is no United States of America. We are fully, we've already been to some extent a banana republic. Trump was never supposed to win in 2016. I think he just surprised them and they couldn't guarantee a Hillary victory. Oh, but they've been working overtime since then to make sure that what happened in 2016 never happens again. He has to win, not only to save the American Republic, but they're not going to let him just retire to his penthouse suite in New York City. They're not just going to let him retire as this billionaire ex-president. They're not going to let him just retire to playing golf at Mar-a-Lago. They're coming after him with everything they got. There is nothing the left would love to see more than Trump behind bars. You know, and one of the arguments that people make about not pursuing justice for people like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton is that we don't want to be like these third world countries that their political leaders are constantly imprisoning each other. And I understand that to some extent. But at the same time, does that mean we then just let the elites get away with anything and everything? That if there has been real and true treason and fraud by our elites, if, let's say, an ex-president went 3 miles down the street on Inauguration Day 2017, set up shop, and began running a shadow government. We just let them get away with that? Do we let him get away with that? I don't think we do. Do we let... You know, remember, here's why you believe in election fraud. Here's why you believe that fraud is happening. Joe Biden told us it was going to happen. He said, we put together the largest, most inclusive voter fraud organization in history. He told a group of people, I don't need you to elect me. I need you after I'm elected. Hey, I think Trump should just follow the advice of Hillary Clinton that she gave to Joe Biden. Under no circumstances concede, Joe. Under no circumstances concede. Really? I guess that means even if he lost. Look, the fix was in. They knew the fix was in. If Donald Trump doesn't win this, not the American Republic is gone. He's gone. Donald Trump right now, I hope he understands that he is fighting for his very survival as a free man. Not only for himself, but they will go after his children too. You know, in a revolution, you know, if you've got competing monarchs, competing kingdoms, you not only want to kill the king, you want to kill the descendants of the king. Otherwise, the descendants are going to rise up and come after you for killing their patriarch or matriarch. Donald Trump needs to understand that he's fighting for the survival of his family and himself, not just the country. And if this isn't fixed, and if this isn't fixed by January 6th, if Pence doesn't stand up, and there's an article at CGM.news that you can read about Mike Pence being the a possible savior of this whole scenario. If he does not, if this isn't fixed, I should say, by January 6th, drastic measures must be done. Martial law, Insurrection Act, I don't care. And look, you say martial law, it's not like the whole country even has to be on martial law, or even the swing states need to be on martial law. It is very selective, very targeted, where he would do the martial law in order to seize these Dominion machines, run forensic audits, do what we have to do essentially in order to show the election fraud. The Supreme Court's got to come through, be praying for the Supreme Court for courage and protection. This really is. This could be Trump's great crossing of the Rubicon. And we know that there's been a realigning of the armed forces to where the special forces report directly to the Secretary of Defense, who is a strong patriot, the Undersecretary of Defense, Ezra Cohen Watkin, who a lot of people think is QAnon, which I do not think he is QAnon, and I don't even think QAnon is legitimate, but I do love I do love that group of people because they're so patriotic and they're so against the human trafficking and the pedophilia that's going on. I love the group and the movement. I just don't necessarily buy into that they're the QAnon, whoever this individual is, really does have access to all this inside information or whatever. Trust me, I love Q. I wish Q was true. And who knows? Maybe he or she is. Maybe I'm wrong. But this is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. This is our moment. This is our time in history. We won't live through another time in history like this again, most likely. This is World News Brief. The reason why you haven't heard me talk about a story out of Israel here, a story out of China here, a story out of, this part of the world over here. This, what happens with this election, because of the influence of the United States, changes the whole trajectory of the world. Because what we have forming right now is the United States of America with the USMCA, with NATO, with what Trump has been trying to do, has been trying to set us up as a balance of power against the greatest menace on earth, the People's Republic of China, Communist China. If Biden gets in, that will not happen. It's going to be weak. We're going to be back in the Paris Climate Accord and attempting to enforce all kinds of socialism, and we're done. We're done. Now, I'm not going to say that we're completely done, because we ultimately have the opportunity for, I think the, as I believe I mentioned earlier, the secession movement will grow greater and greater and greater. It will be quite strong. And so just like Lincoln had to declare martial law to preserve the Union, if we're not able to do it through the courts, if we're not able to do it through Congress on January 6th, if Mike Pence doesn't step up, be praying for Mike Pence, that he steps up and he does his job and he does not certify this fraudulent election. If he does not step up, then very drastic measures must be taken by Donald Trump in order to preserve this union, because we cannot allow this election to be stolen. And again, there's something in me that doesn't believe it will. I'm crazy. I'm delusional probably. I'm probably delusional. But that's just where I'm at. Take it or leave it. So pray for our nation. Pray for our country. Pray for Trump. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the courts. Pray for Pence. And let's also remember what it's all about. We do news and politics here, and that's great. But there's nothing, absolutely nothing more important than yours and mine, our very souls, right? Because our souls, when we die, our bodies go into the grave, but our souls live on, right? Our souls continue. Now, if perhaps you're listening to this and you don't believe in God, welcome. I hope you're comfortable here, and I hope that you feel welcome here, even though this is a CGM Radio is a Christian station. It's a Christian network. That World News Brief is a Christian news program. I hope that people who are not Christian, whether that they even agnostic or atheist or believe anything at all, I hope you feel welcome here. We're more than happy to have you and appreciate you joining us. But if that's an issue for you, I want to recommend going and checking some recent episodes. I did it when I was in California last week. Bob Siegel and I did a few episodes on apologetics. One show was on Christmas apologetics, basically answering questions that skeptics have about Christmas, such as the virgin birth, the genealogies, and so forth. So check that out. Go to cgmradio.com/Bob. And let's see here. It is their episode. That particular one is episode 108, answering skeptics about the birth of Jesus. And then we did another one. How do I know God exists? And if so, why does he allow evil? Those are some great, great shows, specifically answering those questions on does God exist? And even further than that, more about Jesus Christ himself. Also, I want to point out a couple more of Bob's shows. He did a program on the history of Christmas and Christmas traditions, episode 106, and The War Against Christmas, episode 107. So get those at cgmradio.com. And he's got a bunch of holiday movie reviews as well, which is a great, great, great break from the news. And I tell you, I've really been enjoying those shows. They have a very classic feel to them, like you're, you know, listening to something on the radio from long ago. I really, really enjoy the movie reviews. They're just a lot of fun. And again, just a great break from the news, which we all absolutely and positively need. Well, why are you doing a news podcast early Christmas morning? I know, I'm insane. This was one of those times, and it happens every once in a while, where I'm not doing a show because I'm scheduled to do one. I had to do this show. I had to do it. I don't know. It's crazy. It's literally 12:54 a.m. on Christmas Day, and here I am. Ladies and gentlemen, good times, good times. So be sure to check that out. But really what is, and by the way, Jim Barrier, his podcast, Since You Asked, he has a bunch of great Christmas shows as well. So you can find him at cgmradio.com/ask. Just go to the homepage. Just cgmradio.com, and you'll see everybody's show. But he's got some great, great shows on what is Advent, Jesus' birthday, genealogies, and more, angels, dreams, and prophecies. Just some great, great episodes. So make sure to check those out. But I wanted to end with, again, there's nothing more important than our souls. We could get the political world exactly how we want it, and everything could be exactly how we wish it could be here on this earth, right? But Jesus said, and I mean, you know me, I fight for that. I fight for that, and I fight for our country and our Constitution. I believe that God gave us this country. I believe he blessed us with this country and with this amazing Constitution. And so I'm with you in fighting for that. But there's nothing more important. We could have all of that settled and lined out and all the world as it should be. But Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? But so if we have that taken care of, but we don't have our souls taken care of, then it's all for naught. It's all for nothing. Because, you know, one day we're going to die, we're going to stand before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've certainly sinned once or twice in my lifetime. Perhaps more than once or twice. I won't go beyond that. No, I've sinned a whole lot more. And look, like the Apostle Paul said, when he called himself the chief of sinners, you know, boy, do I feel like that sometimes. And maybe you do as well. I wanted to read this section. This is Matthew chapter 1. I just wanted to read in the spirit of Christmas, Christmas Day, Christmas morning, I wanted to read these verses. And it says this. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. One thing I find interesting about this passage is it says, she'll give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And a lot of times we think about salvation, we think about kind of like a ticket to going to heaven. Jesus died so we could go to heaven. Yes, Jesus came, he was born and grew up, walked among us, lived amongst us, died on the cross and rose from the dead, but not just so that we could go to heaven, but we needed salvation from our sins. And that's really what Christ offers this Christmas. And if you're listening to this and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no time like Christmas Day if you happen to listen to this on Christmas Day. Look, we've all, like the scripture says, all of us have turned aside. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, to fall on Christ. The reality is that we've sinned against God, whether lying or stealing, adultery, lust, hatred, murder, steal. I mean, you name it. You name it. We've all sinned against God. And as a result, we deserve punishment for our sins. But the good news, right? Why the angels were harking and heralding, why they're so happy that Christ came, is that God gave a solution. We've sinned. We deserve punishment. We deserve death for our sins. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. We've offended a holy God by our sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, with the great love which he has for us, sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born in a manger, of humble, the most humble circumstances, a feeding trough, grew up, became a man, taught us, led us, died for us, rose from the dead. And it's through his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection that we are saved. We deserve punishment for our sins. God punished Jesus in our place. And he offers us salvation. He offers us forgiveness of our sins. He offers us peace, reconciliation, peace. When it says peace on earth, goodwill toward men, the first and most important peace that we as humans must come to terms with is peace with God himself. Our sins have separated us from God. Christ came and he bridged that separation, where we can now walk across that bridge and jump into the arms of our Heavenly Father. How do you do this, you ask? Well, the scripture is very clear in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The scripture talks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The way you do it is that you confess your sin to God. You confess to God that you've sinned. And you tell God, I'm turning away from my sin. And I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Believe, trust, give your life into his hands. Tell him Jesus is Lord. Tell him I believe he died for me and rose from the dead. And I now give my life to you. I now give my life to follow Jesus the rest of my life. And you have salvation. It's a free gift. It's nothing. You don't earn it. You don't earn it. It's something that you accept. The greatest Christmas gift you could ever get. And there's not even a close second. Is a relationship with God. Is taking what Christmas is all about at face value. And it's all about Jesus. It's all 100,000 zillion percent about Jesus. Taking that Christmas gift and receiving him, Jesus Christ, into your heart and into your life. And if you would love to dialogue more about that, or if you would love to ask me any other question about anything at all, email me, world@cgmradio.com. world@cgmradio.com. I would love to interact with you. Well, it is now 1:03 in the morning, Christmas Day, and I think it's time to go to bed. So have yourself a merry little Christmas. I hope you enjoy time with family and friends. Ladies and gentlemen, as Sean Hannity likes to quote Jesus all the time, let not your hearts be troubled. God is on his throne. This is in his, our nation is in his hands. So let's pray, let's trust, and look. No matter what happens, life is going to be very interesting. All right? So stay positive. Stay encouraged. We're going to get through this. I do not believe that God is done with this nation yet. I could be wrong, but with where I am now, I do not believe God is done with this nation. And we have, God has put just the right man in office for such a time as this. So be encouraged. God is in control. God is on his throne. And again, have yourself a merry little Christmas, and we'll see you next time.